So it gives me pleasure to introduce Mayra Borges van Gelent, my professor down there, who's currently a PhD candidate at Unicamp in Brazil, and previously did her master's at the Federal Fluminense University, which was on the Belo Monte Dam, and the democratic state in question. And so she's going to talk about her work, looking at the impact of the on riverine populations and reserves in that region. And currently she's doing an exchange is at the Center for Latin American Studies at the University of Amsterdam. Yeah. So thank you for coming over.
Thank you. So, good afternoon, everyone. Nice to meet you. So, yeah, my name is Mayra van Gelent. I'm a geographer, and today I'm doing my PhD in an interdisciplinary program. It's called Environment and Society at Unicamp, São Paulo, Brazil. My advisor is Professor Emílio Moran from Michigan State University, and my co-advisor is Professor Eduardo Brandizio from Indiana University. And so, yeah, the research has been made possible through the award of financial support by the FAPESP, the São Paulo State Foundation of Support Research, is where we still have money in Brazil for the research nowadays. And I'd like to thank you all to be here today on a sunny day. It's a very good chance to meet, present my research at Oxford University, and will be great to have your comments and questions at the end. Just a quick question before I start. Who has been to Amazon here? Everybody? Okay, great. So, great. Yeah. So, I'd like to start this presentation. So, I didn't tell the name of my presentation. Yeah, Entangled Territorialities and the Fringe of Development, an investigation on riverine peoples of the Terra do Meio. It's a mosaic of protected areas and the impacts of the Belo Monte Dam in the state of Pará, Brazilian Amazon. I'd like to start this presentation with the regional context to show you where this pink circle, you can see the pink circle? No, why not? It's okay. There is a pink circle there where is my study area. Is in the Xingu Basin, state of Pará, north of Brazil. As we know, the Brazilian Amazon is a huge and complex region that has a rich cultural and ecological diversity. The biome concentrates protected areas. All the green color that you see is protected areas. So it's like 26.6% of conservation units and 27% of indigenous territories, which means that more than 50% of Amazon territory protect. I like also to show you, that's crazy. Yeah, okay. In order to place the discussion in its proper context, it also should be pointed out that this research is an integral part of a tense debate that involves conservation with development and the impacts of mega infrastructure projects in the Amazon. Yeah, the region has for a long time been fundamental to the reflection over human environmental interactions and sustainability issues. With this map, I'd like to stress that Brazilian Amazon region has not just protected areas and a lot of infrastructure projects. For example, the orange color is mining and oil exploitation, and the blue color represents the watershed where the hydroelectric projects are taking place nowadays. It's so strange, I have to put, okay. And it's interesting. It's so crazy, this slide is not like following, okay. But if I could, just 1 second. Crazy. Okay, it's interesting to note that Brazil, Brazil is the country that has built the largest number of dams in Latin America during the last century. And as you see in this graphic, among the countries that produce the most hydroelectric power, Brazil is second just to China. And in this context, it's interesting. So hydraulic energy seems to continue for many years being the main source of their electricity generated in Brazil. It's also relevant to point out here that the Brazil state's investment in large hydroelectric plants is a polemic topic in Brazil, especially concerning its close relationship with public and private capital, respect to environmental legislation, and the transparency debate with effective participation of the traditional people affected by the projects. Then just to share a little bit of this polemic topic, I will show you a video. It's just a movie trailer, 3 minutes. Here. Can you see? No. So now we have a problem. The screen is not. See, now I'm seeing the PowerPoint.
Okay. Is it working here? Or?
But you can see there. Oh, see there.
Well, we could do temporarily. It's not ideal.
Okay. Great.
We have to switch it back after.
This is a secret river of the Munduruku, and the Brazilian government wants to build a very large dam here. And this dam will be followed by 40 or more others. Rolaiema, Nanka, Bahia, Diana, Pita, Weber, Chicago. Não pode deixar que isso continue acontecendo. Então, essa luta, ela não se acaba aqui.
just to invite you to feel the reality a little bit there. Can you help me again? Yeah. Let's see.
You just go to the slideshow again.
Okay.
I'm gonna stop this video.
Belo Monte is one of the most important works of the Growth Acceleration Program in Brazil called PAC. PAC is an investment plan launched by the Brazilian government in 2007, whose main goal is to promote large-scale projects throughout the country for advancing economic development. So the energy use of the Xingu River Basin was also proposed during the military dictatorship in Brazil, and all large power plants date back to the 70s, National Developmentalism Project. Norte Energia, this name is like Energy North, is the name of the company responsible of Belo Monte Dam. And the dam is the third large hydroelectric plant with an investment around 28 billions of reais and a huge extensive transmission line already in operation. Actually, everything about these dams is outsized, from the budget to the social and environmental impacts. And you may be thinking about positive impacts. And of course, there are some, like the increase of employment and higher salaries. Nevertheless, we will focus on some polemic issues, because even after 40 years, it's still full of controversies. The first proposal was rejected in 1989 with a huge opposition from the Kayapó Indians. You see a chief leader, the Haoni. So in the first picture, you see a very famous photograph of Inja Tuira with a huge knife. It's a machete, I think the name? Yeah, machete. So in her hands during the occasion that she told the president of the electricity concessionaire that the indigenous people don't allow the name of the dam. Because until this moment, the dam was called Kararau, a war cry of Kayapó ethnicity. The second picture, you see the pop singer Sting helping an international campaign to defend the Kayapó's land and rights. You see near Sting, the Kayapó chief, Haoni, very famous and very important, who has led the indigenous resistance to Belo Monte over the past decades. I'm studying Belo Monte since 2009. I was writing my master's thesis, and that was published as a book in 2013. I just gave to him an exemplar to the library here. And on your left side, you see the book cover. And the main goal was to discuss democracy and development during the environmental license process of Belo Monte Dam, and in short, the Belo Monte Dam has diverted the flow of the Xingu River, has devastated an extensive area of the Brazilian rainforest, has displaced over 20,000 people, has threatened the survival of traditional people that depend on the river, has been suspended several times, has received the greatest financing in the BNDES history. BNDES is our national bank for development, for economic and social development. It was the largest investment in its history. And it's good to stress that in Brazil, every large projects like Belo Monte with significant impacts has to follow the license process, steps and demands. And as my advisor says, these impacts were foreseeable. Nothing really new about mega dam's impacts here. Now you might be wondering who was considered affected by this dam. This diagram shows you four different scales of impacts, influence of the Belmont Dam, and it was prepared with information from the environmental study and report. You see, so just to show you everything. So the number one, the small orange circle is the dam, yeah? The number one is the directly affected area where the artworks were and flooding area. Then you have the direct influence area, neighboring areas suffering influence. Number three, the indirect influence area includes 11 municipalities and etc. And number four, the regional area of influence, where Terra do Meio, the mosaic of protected areas that I'm studying, is included. So that's the dam influence territory. But we will see that before the enterprise, the engineers, the flood area, there were other territories here. This diagram shows you four. So this area of Xingu is called a Volta Grande, which means the big bend of the river. That's the directly affected area that you saw in the diagram. So Xingu River is one major tributary of the Amazon River, and as you check on the map, has been dramatically reshaped. On the second image, you see that the dam now diverts about 80% of the flow. And the reduced flow along the bend has produced new dry areas that you can check on the brown color on the second image. Well, the government said that their electricity from Belmont will help support the energy needs of economic growth in Brazil, but where the energy from Belmont then is going to? The National Bank is financing with more than 2 billion of reais for the transmission system of the Belmont Dam, and the State Grid Corporation of Company has become a major player in Brazil electricity generation and distribution sector since arriving in the country in 2010. So the Chinese capital in the Amazon is huge nowadays. The plan is to construct two giant transmission lines to transport electricity from the Belmont hydroelectric project to the southeast of the country, the most industrialized, richest, and urbanized region of Brazil. As we know, Brazil is a huge country, and its large geographic size has required substantial investments in electricity transmission lines, not just from Belmonte. With this other map, I'd like to show you that Belmonte is part of a huge power grid. This is the national interconnected grid divided into multiple interconnected distribution complex that transport electricity to various regions of Brazil. However, as noted by Berta Becker, an important Brazilian geographer, in a reflection regarding large hydroelectric projects in the region, will the resource in the Amazon once more be used to fill the center-south of the country? Will this new dynamic generate benefits for the Amazon? Or, on the contrary, will the region only be ravaged by the perverse social and environmental impacts? So now I think I can share the PhD dissertation aims. We have four main goals here. The first one is to understand new challenge for environmental governance in Brazil and Amazon from the studies case. The second one is to discuss the riverine territoriality in Terra do Meio, the mosaic, using an interdisciplinary approach. The third one is to highlight the riverine people perspective on the impacts brought about by the Belmont Dam. And fourth, to analyze the contradictions of the compensatory and mitigating measures for Belmont impacts in Terra do Meio. In order to handle with these different sub-questions, that I have, I'm considering territoriality a key concept for analyzing human-environmental interactions. The box points out some symbolic and concrete dimensions of this concept, both intrinsic to the notion when accompanied by its social, historical, relational sense. And I'm using an interdisciplinary dialogue in particular between anthropology and geography, developed considerably through discussions within the sub-areas related to ecology, be they human, cultural, and political, since it was precisely where the concept, although controversial, was more present in the discussion. So I think that a deeper interdisciplinary dialogue between both science could contribute to development of the of discussion regarding the concept of territoriality within the context of research on human-environment interactions in the Amazon. Here, just quickly, some fundamental dimensions for the reflection on territoriality. So it covers the notion of control, limit, and appropriation, acts and articulates different scales, from the local scale, personal and more quotidian, to the more complex and wide scale, dialogues with identity and culture. And finally, refers to the notion of power and disputes and conflicts between distinct logics and manners. So just to share a bit about methodological aspects, so participant observation, community interviews, focal group, grounded theory, ethnographic methods were used. Semi-infrastructure interviews were also conducted. The GIS software was used to elaborate some maps that we will see here. And also the Atlas TI helped the analysis of the interviews. And I did three field works, three different field works in this area, two in the Mosaic, and one the capital to interview the government. Here is just to show you a little bit about my fieldwork, which kind of things I had to brought, and the boat, that's a very typical riverine meal, the manioc with fish, and that's my hammock in a very good situation. It's not always like that. And if you ask me, oh, my most afraid during my field work, I can just show you one picture. So, are you seeing the map? Okay. So, my research was conducted in Terra do Meio, this mosaic of protected areas. You see a bit of the geographic context. It should be pointed out that the history here is marked by illegal logging, encroachment, and illegal occupation. And you also can notice that the Trans-Amazonian Highway is pretty close. You can see the red one, the strong red in the top. That's a very relevant road which cuts across the heart of the Amazon forest. So you can see that there are different colors inside the mosaic. Which means different territories and different protected areas. The light green are state conservation units, the strong green, the federal conservation units, and the ratchet yellow, the indigenous territories. So this black outline shows the mosaic of protected areas, and my focus is on the three extractive reserves that I'm trying to Now you see. You see the location of three extractive reserves there. Because we're not considered as affected by the dam during the environmental license process. I'm facing problems here. Okay. So the Amazon biome, as we know, it's home to around 2,000 conservation units that creates an important system. And the focus of our discussion is one on specific category of conservation units called extractive reserve. This system is divided between two main categories. Maybe you already know that, huh? Everybody knows about the difference? Yeah, more or less? Okay. The box on the right side is the total protection group, such as national park, biological reserves, where the main objective is full conservation of natural resource. The second box on the left side, you see the sustainable use group, such as extractive reserve, where different land use are allowed, but strict rules are imposed. But I guess you must be wondering again, why this extractive reserve is so important in this context? The Brazilian extractive reserve system has been created as a major federal strategy for forest conservation and development among traditional peoples. The concept of RESEX, when I say RESEX, is extractive reserve, okay? So the concept of RESEX first emerged as an innovative bottom-up policy from Robert Tapper's struggle to ensure land rights over areas of forests occupied by generations. RESEX establishes a territory and regulates access to natural resource by population that traditionally and culturally depend on extractivism for subsistence. The first extractive reserve was created in 1999 in Acre, another state, in Alto Juruá. Today there are around 89 in different 17 states in the country. And this extractive reserve is one of the most important of these models because it's an integrated conservation development concept with an environmental and cultural conservation goal linking the protection of riverine people and the biodiversity. So research focusing on extractive reserve is also relevant because of the lack of visibility of the social struggles in the Amazon, especially the riverine people, whose territories are often overlooked in these development projects. But who lives in this conservation unit? I've been talking about the sustainable use conservation area, and now I'd like to turn to the people. The riverine people are descended from the immigrant rubber tappers. They have two houses between the river and the reserve, or an island, and the city, in this case, Altamira City. And also they have specific modes of ecological adaptation, and they combine extractive hunting and agriculture practices. And fish is their main source of protein. In my dissertation, I'm also trying to do a theoretical reflection about Amazon identity and the traditional riverine people, considering the complexity of the colonization, miscegenation process, and socio-economic transformation in the region. So in this regard, it stands out the importance of studies carried out in the region under a historical, human, and cultural ecology approach that recognizing the significance of riverine societies who have contributed to their visibility. These next pictures from my fieldwork will show a bit where they live. This roof here made with babassu, a particular kind of palm tree which produces very small coconut. According to my advisor, Morin, manioc is the chief staple of most of the rainforest people in the Amazon, occupying up to 9% of cultivated fields, as you see the riverine from Terra do Meio. They use common regional techniques and equipment for processing bitter manioc into flour or farinha. After the first moment, they use also canal paddles to toast bitter manioc in an iron griddle to its final consistence to be baggage and storage. So you can see how important is the river. That's a very, very typical situation. The mom with a child, like washing clothes in the river. We have a lot of extractive activities, such as rubber, are really important. And Brazilian nuts also, I think it's from this region, the nuts is like one of the best in Brazil, by the way. So now we have, So we have five good examples here of impacts that were detected from my interviews with their respective and expressive codes. So just to read one, the NASA is the North Energy, the company, okay? So the company only looked at the indigenous side, and the dam affected us in the same way. Because we are all pretty close, we live on the same riverbank, of the same river, and we were forgotten. So they talk about breakdown of social ties also. After the dam, it's too bad to visit my family and my friends in Altamira. To go to the Rooks is like a collective, urban collector place, like near, far away from the river. They have to pay like taxi or moto taxi, and they can. The decrease purchasing power of riverine families. Our fish was depreciated by the dam because the price in Altamira was like up and the price of the fish was like the same. Decreasing supply of fish. So I'm really worried about the amount of fish. Nowadays the effort to fish is double. And more violence in the city. Altamira has changed a lot. Today I'm afraid of violence. You didn't see. So that's one map that I made, that I elaborate to show you in a bigger scale, like you can see, okay. The yellow stars are showing you two different neighboring territories of Iriri Reserve. It's one of the reserves that we were talking. So they that were included in mitigate ASO. The yellow stars are showing the territories that were included in mitigating and compensatory measures, okay? On the top is the indigenous territory, it's called Cachoeira Seca, that was considered directly affected by the dam, despite being geographically distant. On the bottom, you see a full protection conservation unit called Estação Ecológica da Terra do Meio, that was also considered in the environmental compensation plan of Belo Monte impacts. And the red X is my focus, the extractive reserve, that were not considered affected by the dam. Okay. With this second diagram, I'd like to show you the different layers and territories that we have now in this region. So after the dam construction, we have one different and very powerful layer, is this study area, in this study area, that creates a lot of complexity to analyze these territories. It's the dam's area of influence. First, we had the traditional population, in my case, the riverine people. Second, the sustainable use group of conservation area, in my study, the extractive reserve. Then the mosaic with different categories of protected areas. Terra do Meio microregion in my study. And last, the affected area of the Belo Monte Dam. So now from the riverine perspective, I will problematize a bit the spatial scale of impact. And I think after I understand this overlapping territories situation, it's not surprising that the compensation and mitigation measures of Belo Monte Dam impacts are very confused. And it was completely evident from my interviews. So from the analysis of the riverine perspective about the impacts of Belo Monte Dam, I discovered three main contradictions in this mosaic of protected areas. We'll focus on three. Yeah, the first one is related to the riverine livelihood that makes rural and urban logic. The second one is the ethnicity identity is linked to the mitigating measures for indigenous territory. And last is about the difference between conservation units categories and environmental compensation resource here. The first contradiction is related to the close link to city in their territoriality. So, and the fact of Altamira is part of the direct effect. Do you remember the first diagram? Altamira city is inside the directly affected area. And this city is very important for their livelihood. And the point here is the non-inclusion of three extractive reserves of this mosaic. So the Altamira city is very important, and they often go to the city to get payments, documents, buy medicines, to see a doctor, to visit family, to buy groceries, etc. Some of them keep one house in the city and other in the reserve. Well, this dual housing arrangement is an important aspect, such as the extractive activities, for example, that change according to the season and the level of the river. The second contradiction is related to the basic environmental plan. It's like a bundle of mitigating measures, yeah? Territorial struggles between indigenous peoples and hydroelectric dams have highly caught the attention of anthropologists and the general pub. The Cachoeira Seca territory was included by FUNAI, the official Brazilian government indigenous rights agents, in a group of indigenous territories that, despite being far away from the dam, was directly affected. And they are in front of the extractive reserve. Yeah, you saw on the map. So from the riverine perspective, they cannot understand the logic of the mitigation measures, as they use the same river, they have almost the same livelihood, and they can see a lot of benefits like gasoline and motor boat arriving from the mitigating measures in this indigenous territory. So it's a kind of a visible inequality in different rights. The third contradiction is about the environmental compensation that was instituted by the federal law in 2000. The environmental compensation in Brazil is a specific topic. We don't have too much time to talk about, but it's primarily inverted for land tenure issues, development of management plans of protected areas, and one of the major source of funds for consolidating the national system of conservation units. This national system was established, stipulates that in case of environmental license of projects of significant environmental impact, based on an environmental impact study and report, EIA-RIMA, the entrepreneur is required to support the implementation and maintenance of conservation. So the question is that the priority is still to the full protection group of conservation units, which means that one extractive reserve just can allocate benefits and resource from environmental compensation if they are inside the directly affected area. And as you already know, they were not considered as affected by the government. So that's the dam. This circle is the micro region, the mosaic of protected areas, Terra do Meio. And now I elaborate this map all to show you a bit about the contradiction here, because nowadays there are 7 conservation units. You see 7 balls? 7, yeah? 7 conservation units receiving compensation money. And there is a remarkable disproportionality at the beginning, the first plan, and then that's the second plan. Because the biggest part of resource is still allocated to the Juruena National Park, the big red ball with 27, you see the number there? That's in Mato Grosso, another state, and outside the Xingu Basin. And it's like 814 kilometers away from the dam. It means outside the influence area, of course. So the problem is that the dam has been connected to the national interconnected system, the power grid that we saw before, although this compensation plan remains fraught with contradictions. So again, that's the circle is the my study area. And the power, yeah, the dam is the purple symbol. Okay, in conclusion, with regards to the construction of large hydroelectric dams in Brazil, I'd like to stress that there is a repetition of the same pattern of public policy with which disrespect Brazilian environmental legislation and the rights of traditional population affected by the project, who are on most occasions considered hydrants to economic development that can be compensated with benefits after legitimate top-down decisions. So discuss multiple scales fundamental to problematize the impacts of mega dams as dams create new territories. Analyzing human territoriality may create visibility for the claims of populations who have for a long time attempted to establish themselves in their territories and affirm their rights in the Amazon region. The riverine perspective about Belo Monte Dam impacts evidence environmental governance contradictions, as we saw. And the compensatory and mitigating measures have an evident role to discuss environmental justice in the Amazon region. And finally, concerning riverine people, the Belo Monte Dam has reshaped new inequalities and new invisibilities in Terra do Meio. So I'm very grateful to everyone, especially to Erika Bettinger, she's not here, for having suggested my name to participate at Oxford Talks. And I also would like to thank Jane for organizing everything so very well. Here you have my contact for further questions. And yeah, many thanks to all for your presence today.